wind of our lives comes to try to attack us, comes to try to destroy us. Because our foundation is built on Jesus, we can withstand anything. The Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So I encourage you this morning that as long as your foundation is Jesus, it doesn't matter when rain comes, it doesn't matter when wind blows, our lives are built on the name of Jesus. Amen. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. No. You won't fail us, God. Oh.
I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength. I built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through every season. So why would he fail now? Shout it out. He won't. Oh, he won't.
I was on the side of Highway 11 in a totaled car because my car had flipped. I had hit a cobalt, all of these things. And when the EMT had arrived, they pulled me to the side. They said, "Mr. Balance, did you hit this cobalt in the ditch?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I hit it." He said, "Okay." He said, "Well, we usually don't have conversations with people who hit this." And mind you, you know, it's an accident, right? So my mind is still kind of all over the place. I'm just trying to, like, recount everything that happened. And I was like, "I'm sorry, sir, I don't know what that means." he said, well, we usually aren't able to have conversations with people who hit this because they die on impact. And so typically when people, for those of you guys who may not know what a cobalt is, it's that cement opening in a ditch. And typically when people hit them face on, they die, right? But before I hit it, my car turned around. So I hit it from behind instead of forward. And guys, the reason I'm not standing here by luck, I'm not standing here by coincidence. I'm standing here because Jesus is faithful, because Jesus is kind. But that in itself wasn't even the thing that blew me away. So usually I'm a driver where I rest my hand on the gear shift when I drive. That's just kind of my thing. But when my car finally stopped moving, when it stopped doing all the chaos of everything that was going on, I had looked down and I noticed that my palm was up, almost as if somebody was holding my hand. And so now, even in all of that chaos, even in all of that confusion, I had a Savior who was still holding my hand. And so I encourage you guys this morning that whatever life may throw at you, whatever confusion life may throw at you, whatever unsuspected event, unprepared event you may have, I want you to know that there is a God who sits high and looks low, who has no problem holding your hand, not just through his blessings, but also through chaos. Not just through his miracles, but also through disaster. Not just through the good times, but also through the bad ones. The God who made you is still the God who will keep you. The Bible tells us, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, to keep you from stumbling, to keep you from being destroyed, to keep your mind, to keep you safe, to keep you covered. Not because he has to, but just because he's God. Just because he's holy. Just because he's sovereign. He didn't do it because he had to. He did it because he loved me. And that's why I love this part. It says, rain came, wind blew, but my house was built on you. And I'm safe with you, and I'm gonna make it through. Rain came, wind blew, but my house was built on you. Sing, I'm safe with you.
I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make
one more time. Foundation, the rock on which I stand.
Everything around me is shaking.
Yeah.
I've never been more glad I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail? He won't. He won't, 'cause he never had. He won't, 'cause he never will. It's not in his nature. He won't, because it's impossible for God to fail. It's impossible for him to let you down. It's impossible for him to lose. He won't fail. He'll never fail you, no, no. He'll never fail, you know.
God will never fail. He will never fail. He will never fail. Just simply let it be an offering to you, okay? Let it be an offering to you. worth falls short when I look at you. Oh,
oh, I come alive loving you. I'm overwhelmed by the way you move. My worth falls short when I look at you. Oh,
oh, I come alive loving you. I'm overwhelmed by the way you move. My worth falls short when I look at you. Oh.
Can we be an offering right now and give him an offering of praise? Father, we thank you. You're so good in our lives. The line that stands out the most to me in that song is, every time I catch your gaze, my world starts changing. You know, it's easy to get our eyes on a lot of different things in the world. We can get our eyes on our bank account. We can get our eyes on whatever trouble we're going through in our life. But when our gaze catches the Father's gaze, then that's when things start changing. Read a scripture to you today. In Psalms chapter 16, it said, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Today, whatever is going on in your life that your eyes are drifting, let's catch his gaze. You know, when my oldest was a baby, if I wasn't looking at him, he would grab my face to look him in the eyes. He wanted me to make that eye contact. But let's catch the Father's gaze today. And instead of focusing on whatever it is, maybe it's a job situation, maybe it's a family situation, with him at our right hand, we will not be shaken. Take that to him today. We're going to pray. Father God, we thank you that you're at our right hand, that with you, nothing can shake us. Help our eyes to get back at you, back on you, and not on our finances, not on our jobs, not on our family, not on whatever difficulty we're going through, God, but that our eyes would be focused on you, that we would catch your gaze, because that's when our life and our world starts changing. We thank you, Father. I pray for peace for the people that are here today. Whatever turmoil is going on in their life, that you would just bring peace, that they would trust and have faith that you're by their side and you're taking care of every situation today. We love you and thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Can we give God a hand of praise again? We thank you, Father. And you may be seated this morning. We are so glad to have you with us. We have an exciting day today. Today is Fifth Family Sunday. We join together in worship in the sanctuary because we believe it is so important to have the family as part of a child's faith and development. So we are so thankful for the family's role in their kids' faith. So we enjoy having them worship together on four times a year on Fifth Family Sunday. If you, your kid did not get a praise pack, we do have some activities. I have a couple over here after worship. You're welcome to come and get one from me. We also have some more exciting things for today, but first, let's take time for the offering. If you will make your way forward, and if you are a first-time visitor, we would love to meet you after the service. In the foyer, we have a gift for you. We would just like to get some information from you. So right after the service in the foyer, at this time, you can make your way forward with the offering.
Amen. This next song I'm going to sing, it talks about worthy. It talks about how worthy God is for us to worship him. And I don't know about y'all this morning, but I believe that. I believe God is very worthy of all of our praises.
It was my cross you bore, so I could live. In the freedom you died for, and now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name.
He's worthy today. Amen. You're so worthy, Father. We thank you. You deserve all the honor and the praise. Well, as it is fifth Sunday, we do have a baptism service every fifth Sunday. So we are excited as these candidates step forward in a display of their faith. And first, we're going to have Braxton Archer. Braxton was one of my kids. He doesn't look like much of a kid now, though, does he? I told him a while ago, I haven't seen him in person in a couple of years, and I would not have recognized Braxton. I've been here about 14 years now, so he was one of my babies, and I'm so proud of Braxton for the step that he's taken. You can step in on that, and it'll be fine. Braxton just graduated from high school, and he is heading off to college in the fall. Sit. There you go. Put your back this way. And it was important to him that he made this step of faith, because as he goes into college, that he keeps Jesus first. And he wanted to make this display of faith before stepping out from his own household into a new place, into Greenville. He's going to ECU. So, Braxton, we are so proud of you. Braxton, because of the profession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Ebony Balance.
So, Ebony, would you like to say anything before we baptize you?
I just want to thank God for this moment of redemption. For a long period of my life, I did a lot of running. God called me at a young age, and I just did a lot of running. You know, young, who wants to be in church all the time, you know? So I just finally got to the place where I'm just so tired of running. I had a life-changing experience actually here at Carpenter Shop, following my brother about 2 or 3 weeks ago, when there was this guest speaker and he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I've always heard about it. My mom, my dad speak in tongues, you know. But I'm like, is that really real, you know? And that day, the Holy Spirit fell on me, and it was a feeling like never before. And it was just life-changing for me, and I just want more of it. So thank you.
So, Ebony, by profession of your faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And Ramesser.
So, Ann, you faithfully clean our church every week. We thank you for this. She is the true meaning of serving the God. Anything you'd like to say before we baptize you?
I just thank God for being here today, and I ask him to add a blessing to this baptism.
And by profession of your faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
The next one is pretty special to us, Jackson Saunders. Jackson loves Jesus. He loves to worship Jesus. He's had the privilege to go to a Christian school for kindergarten, and his award for the year was Best Christian Testimony. So we're so proud of his heart for Jesus, and he's been asking me for a few months that I didn't want to even suggest it to him. You sit right there. But he's been asking me for a few months. He wanted to be baptized. Jackson, is there anything that you wanted to say? Okay. Hold your nose, baby. Jackson, because of the profession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Darian Stevenson. Darian is a respectful young man. He's quiet sometimes, but sometimes I knew his family was gonna get. But he can be a leader in the room, and I'm excited to see all that God does in Darian's life. Because he exudes a love for Jesus, even with those around him. So, Darian, did you have anything that you'd like to say?
Thank you, God, for blessing me. Thank you, God, for blessing me.
Thank you, God, for blessing me. Darian, because of the profession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's his sister that you hear over there laughing. Simone Stevenson is up next. And Simone, all the kids, especially the younger kids, they all want to sit, they fight over who's going to sit beside Simone. Like, Simone is just joy bubbling over, and everyone wants to be around her. And they've both brought so much to our kids' ministry since starting to attend. Simone, is there anything that you would like to say? Okay. Simone, I pray that your love for Jesus and your love for people and your joy continues to reach the world and to reach the world for Jesus. And because of the profession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And now their mom, Miss Tamika Stevenson.
So, Tamika, is there anything you'd like to say?
I just want to thank God for this opportunity. I get to see both my children be baptized and now me. And I'm just so ready to do this because before I was such an angry person and I was always trying to do it by myself. But now I have God here and, you know, God is going to be the one that does it for me. I don't have to be in control of everything. He's in control of everything. So I just want to thank him for this opportunity and I just want to be washed clean and have a clean slate. And I thank him.
Tamika, by profession of your faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And lastly, Gabrielle Turner. Gabrielle also used to be in kids' church a long time ago. You feel good. Gabrielle, is there anything that you wanted to say today? Gabrielle, by the profession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Try to dry my hands off a little bit. We're so blessed to share in this day with these candidates. And some of them we're going to recognize again because today is also Move Up Sunday. And what that means is that our kids that are going into seventh grade are going to be promoted into youth ministry and out of kids ministry. Also this year we're making a few changes and we're going to promote our rising sixth graders as well. You know, that's just like on with the times in most churches. So now when you go to middle school, you will go to youth ministry. Corey Balance is the youth director, and he is doing amazing things. The kids are loving it, and that is on Sunday nights at 5 o'clock. So if you're recognized today and you are in at least sixth grade through 12th grade, make sure you make it out to youth ministry. They would love to have you, and your kids will receive the word on their own level. So today I'm going to recognize some rising sixth graders and rising seventh graders. We have a gift for them, a Bible that's in an easy-to-read language that we use upstairs, and also a sermon notebook, because I've been telling them as this was coming the last few weeks that that doesn't mean that you come down to the sanctuary and you sit on your phone the whole service, that you can still receive something even especially in the sanctuary. So there's a sermon notebook, and it says, "Be the light." Our vacation Bible school that we just did was focused on shine Jesus light. And in Bible study this past Wednesday night, we were talking about having courage and how we can have courage in school and what we should do. And some of them were like, yeah, shine Jesus light. Like, that it's in their heads, it's in their hearts. So to continue that, a sermon notebook, be the light, and a Bible. Sydney has poured countless hours into this age group this past year. She has taught that the Bible study for that age group on Wednesday nights, and we're so thankful for her as well. And I don't have these in alphabetical order, and I know some of them are not here today, but is Jahmir Johnson here today? Jahmir, I think he said he was coming. If not, we'll pass that off to your aunt. And I know Jaden Vaughn is sick today. What about Damian Walker? I think I see Damian in the back. If you'll run up here, Damian. Damian, let's give him a hand. Damian is going into the seventh grade. Miss Sydney has your Bible. Damian, I talked to the kids about being a thermometer or being a thermostat, and Damian is a great thermostat. He can change the room for a positive, and we're really going to miss him in kids' church because he is respectful. He has the joy of the Lord in his heart. Jahmir is here. He has the joy of the Lord in his heart, and he really can make an influence on those around him. And Jahmir Johnson, let's give Jahmir a hand. I told John Muir I was going to bring up about how when he was a kid, we used to call him Preacher Man because he always would wear like a suit and tie and he was decked out. He did one Sunday last month wear one just for me. One more time. Alexandria Barnes. Are they here today? Alexandria and Michael Barnes. Kamari Rayner. I think I saw them. Kamari, jump up. Here, he's coming from over here. Let's give Kamari a hand. Love you, buddy. Kamari, had joined our kids' church, I think maybe the end of last year, and we've enjoyed having him and his boldness and his joy of life. Jehaziel Cabos, I know he's here. I've seen him so far. Let's give him a hand. Jehaziel is a master artist. I don't know if everybody knows that, but if you ever need something drawn, he hides it a little bit, but he is quite the drawer. We're proud of you, Jehaziel. He's going into sixth grade. Is Darian back in yet? He's still getting changed. We'll skip him and come back to him. And then I don't think Grayson Parker made it. Layden Gamble is also being promoted. Kaylin Tan. Jewel, and we will give Darian's mom their Bible. So let's give all of these guys a hand one more time. If you have a kid that's going into the sixth or seventh grade and we didn't recognize you today, then make sure you come see me afterwards. And I have, actually, Darian's right here. Come on up here. Darian, run again. Let's give Darian a hand one more time. He's going into the seventh grade this year. Grab your Bible, Darian. We're so proud of you. Thank you. You can go ahead back to your seat, buddy. And then while we're at it, we can't promote preteens without recognizing our graduates. We haven't recognized our graduates yet. And when I call you, if you'll come to the stage and tell us a little bit about what you're doing with your life. And first, Braxton. Is Braxton back up here? I won't make you talk in the microphone. I've already told what Braxton's doing. Did he make it back yet? Braxton Archer, we'll put yours to the side. Like I said, Braxton is going to ECU to study informational tech, cybersecurity. Cybersecurity is what he's studying, is what he said. All right, let's give Braxton one more hand. Nyasia Dunning. Nyasia, I think I see her at the back. Nyasia, you're also going to ECU, right? We got lots of church kids over in Greenwood. Now, can you tell us what you're studying?
Speech pathology.
Speech pathology. That we definitely need that. Thank you so much. We're so proud of you, Nyasia. Radasia Peebles. Let's give her a hand. Both of these girls just graduated from high school. Remind me where you're going, Radasia.
Winston-Salem.
Criminal justice. Criminal justice at Winston-Salem. Let's give her a hand. We're so proud of you, Radasia. Deani Hall Locklear just completed her certificate degree in dental hygiene, to be a dental hygienist, is what I'm trying to say. She couldn't make it today. And then Deshanti Anthony is not able to be here today, but I'll put her. She is going to Chowan, so she will be still close to us, so hopefully we'll still be able to see her. That is Rico's daughter. Can we give all of our graduates a hand one more time? We have another special treat for us today. And that is that Pastor Bernie is ministering to us today. Pastor Bernie, if you want to go ahead, let's give him a hand.
Good morning, Carpenter Shop. So on this morning, I have a special treat for you guys. My sister, I've been an ex's wife, our drummer's wife. I knew her before I knew him, years before I knew him. But being that Pastor Bernie is preaching this morning, and I knew he wanted me to play the organ. So I was just kind of thinking, like, what could we do to make this moment of him preaching just a little bit special, more special? So I asked my sister T, and she's coming up at this time, and she's gonna bless us with the song. Y'all give her a hand as she come. A great old carpenter shop welcome.
Precious Lord, take my
church say amen. I think we need to say it again. It was the blood that Jesus shed out on Calvary's rugged cross. It was the blood that saved you and I. Young lady, don't you go nowhere. How many of y'all glad to be here today? It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's good to be among family. You know, my wife and I have been coming here 5 years now. She asked me the other day, she said, honey, said, are you okay with where we are? I said, I sure am. She said, well, I'm tired of going from church to church. But we're not people just up and leave. God sent us here. God knew where my spirit needed to be. I love this place. I love Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy. I don't know all of you by name, but trust me, I love you. I love seeing you on Sundays, and it's just good to be here. I want to thank God today for this opportunity to stand before you, and it might not look like I know I got a cane, but I'm trembling. I want to thank Pastor Wallace for giving of himself to me, not just today, but over the years, even before I came here. I appreciate him to the uttermost. He's a wonderful man, has a lot on his plate, and we need to keep him, Miss Joy, in constant prayer, because you think Satan don't come up against you now. I tell you, my message today, I was working on it last night, but I didn't just start last night. I started a few weeks ago. And we had the opportunity, my wife and I, to go to another church Sunday before last to preach. And Pastor Wallace said, just as long as you're here on the 30th, you go ahead, but just as long as you're here on the 30th. So, Pastor, I'm here. And the church we went to didn't have a pastor. But, you know, God blessed us there. I'm taking my time. Is that okay? Sometimes you gotta calm the butterflies down. But and I was working on my message and been working on it. Have y'all heard the saying that people all up in your Kool-Aid and don't know the flavor? Well, let me tell you, the devil got all up in my Kool-Aid this week, but he knew the flavor. He knew I love grape Kool-Aid. But anyway, I'm standing here. I got a word from the Lord. Even though the devil tried to rip it up, we're here today. I'm giving God the glory. I'm giving the glory today. You see that image up there? Pastor told me to send him my information and he's going to hook me up. He hooked me up. I'm an old school preacher. Is that all right? And I love what he's done for me. I really do. I appreciate it to the uttermost. But I'm going to, I like reading my scriptures that I'm going to focus on. So those of you who have your Bibles, got your iPad, your Apple phone, your Android phone, or whatever you use, if you would turn to the 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis. And just so you know, I'm going to throw me in the mix today because, you know, as we get older, we should share our testimonies with younger people that they'll know about life and the struggles of life and the things we wrestle with. And this man, Jacob, today going to teach us a lesson about that. 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis. I'm going to start at the 22nd verse. It said, that night Jacob got up, took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, I come before your throne of grace this morning just as I am, just as humble as I know how. God, your manservant, trembling inside, Lord, I decrease that you would increase, that Holy Spirit will have its way in me and through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, the subject is already on the board. The ultimate wrestling match. The ultimate wrestling match. And we're not talking about the WWE, young folks. We ain't jumping off no top ropes. We ain't turning no black backflips. We ain't body slamming anybody. But we will get body slammed by the Holy Spirit in the end. Trust me. The ultimate wrestling match. I don't know about you, but I was born and raised in the country on the dusty roads of Belvidere, North Carolina. It's all right if I just preach this morning. I was born and raised on the dusty roads of Belvidere, North Carolina. In the house we lived in, there was no running water. There was no TV. There was no phone. But we had love. There was a bunch of boys in the neighborhood on Bay Branch Road. My grandmother was the only house on the road that had a TV, black and white, and black and white screen with rabbit ears with aluminum foil wrapped around it. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. Had aluminum foil wrapped around it, but the big takeaway was on Saturday evening. It was Saturday evening when the wrestlers would come on, and we would look at the wrestling, and we thought it was real till we found out it was all a big show. But we would go out in the yard sometimes, and we'd be practicing wrestling. We had no business doing that. We found out that body slamming would knock the breath out of you. We found out that a suplex would almost paralyze you. But we were just young boys playing, but sometimes the playing turned to seriousness because somebody got mad. They got mad because you got whipped. And then you came with your best stuff then, Paul. You know what I'm talking about. You came with your big guns then. You ball your fists up, and Now you went from wrestling to knuckle and beating one another up, and we would bust one another's lips, and we had bloody nose. And we bust one another's lips, lips swell up like our lips wasn't already big enough, and we puffing them up some more. But we were just being boys. We were just doing stuff. We were wrestling. We were having fun, we thought. But as I grew older and began to see some things change in life, and things began to change and grow up to be a young man, and we laid those childish things away because we were growing up. But nowadays, they've grown up. They don't wrestle anymore. They pull out a gun and shoot. It's sad, but maybe we need to get back to wrestling. Maybe we need to get back to just a good old fist fight. Get your box of Band-Aids and put on. Walk away if you don't have to speak no more. But wrestling, there's something about wrestling. In the end, we want to be victorious. But wrestling, Webster said the definition of wrestling is a sport, an activity of grappling and holding your opponent down. Well, grappling, in case you don't know what a grapple is, and if you ride down the road, see, I'm in the logging business, so you ride down the road, you see the machine got these little like tongs on the back. It's called a grapple. And when it gets a hold of something, it's got it, and it can't hold it. So that's the definition of wrestling. I'm going to take my time, because I want you to go down this journey with me and where we're going. The ultimate wrestling match. But in this text today, when we look at this text, we see Jacob. I don't know how many of you know about Jacob, but Jacob was a trickster. Jacob was good at what Jacob done. Jacob had two natures. He had a good nature and a bad nature. He could be spiritual one minute, and the next minute he'd be taking from you. He'd be stealing from you. And that's what he'd done to his brother. He stole from his brother, and his mother, Rebecca, even got in cahoots with him and took advantage of his dad. His dad was blind, and that's just the kind of guy that Jacob was. But how many of us today have been that way in our lives growing up? We've been deceitful. We've done things we shouldn't have done. And we end up, we wrestle with things we shouldn't be wrestling with. But life just offers some things to us that we don't want sometimes. Because sometimes we wrestle with children that don't function like they're supposed to. How many of you got some of those? I got grown daughters, Joel, that, you know what? I wrestle with them. They don't know it. I'm wrestling with them. One for their mama. I don't know what they would be. They'd probably be just gone. But anyway. But that's just the way it is, and we wrestle with disappointment. That's the way I've been this week. I don't mind. I confess that this week has been one of those challenging weeks, and my weeks are challenging anyway, but it was put on a different level this week, I guess because the devil knew that I had to preach today, because I already had this lesson planned out, but somewhere, somehow, last night, the devil got all up in it, and I just finally said, you know what, I'm going to bed. I'm just going to bed. And then I woke up about 2:30. I guess my wife hit me in the back. I thought she did anyway. Maybe she didn't, but I guess it was the devil just punching me some more. But that's all right. We get the victory. Irregardless, you know, Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good for those who called by God and love him and called according to his purpose. And here I stand today to let you know that I didn't give up. I gave in, but I didn't give up. I had to give in so that God could have his way, because my way wasn't working out too good. I wanted to put in the time so that I wouldn't disappoint pastor and dishonor God, but sometimes you just got to give in to the fact you can't make it by yourself. You know, I wanted to write it out just like I wanted to be, but it wasn't writing. I was writing, but it wasn't even working out. It just didn't make sense. But this morning, sometime another, the Bible told me, say, just stay focused. Just stay focused, and let's talk about Jacob for a little while. And this man we know as the deceiver. Jacob went on, and the reason he ended up where he was anyhow was because of his brother Esau. He was getting ready to meet his brother Esau, and he divided the camp up in case Esau decided to go and take them all out. He said, we won't get us all at one time, so he divided the stuff up and the possessions. So he called himself offering up an offering to to Esau so that he wouldn't take him out. But I don't think Esau even planned to start with to take him out. But Jacob was afraid. So Jacob sent people ahead of him, the Bible says, and he sent them over there, and when he got him, he was left alone. But when the daybreak come, said that he wrestled with a man all night long. I don't know about you, but in my mind, I think Jacob, I'm thinking that maybe he's trying to put this man in a headlock. I don't know, but maybe he didn't know who he was wrestling with. He didn't know that he was wrestling with the man that gets us and takes us down in the ultimate match, wrestling match. God is the one that takes us down, and we can't outdo him. But the Bible said they wrestle all night long. Not part of the night, they wrestle all night long. And I'm sure that somebody was getting tired, but I'm pretty sure it was Jacob, because he was in the human flesh and he was wrestling with God and he didn't even know it. When you look at some versions, said he was wrestling with an angel all night long, but they were doing battle. Can you imagine being out there all night long fighting like that? But the Bible says that they began to have conversation. And when the man saw that he couldn't do away with Jacob, he touched the hip of his socket, pushed his hip out of place, caused him to limp. That's not why I'm limping, even though I did break my hip, but that, God didn't do that. My wife pushed me down. Oh, no, she didn't. I tell people that sometimes. She didn't push me down, but I tell people. But you'll find out here shortly that God did touch me. But it said that it touched him in his hip in the socket, and it wrenched him up, and it caused him to walk with a limp. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." But Jacob said to him, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And the man asked him, "What is your name?" Jacob answered and said, then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and men and have overcome." There was another man, Moses, when God sent him up out the place, he said, "How can I go up out of this place?" In Exodus 33, "How can I go up out of this place unless you go with me?" Then he asked God to show him his glory. God said, "You can't see me face to face and live." But he said, there's a cleft in the rock. Come on with me now. There's a cleft in the rock. And I'll set you in the cleft. And when I go by, you will see my glory. But you can't see my face. You can't see my face. And as God went by, he saw the backside of God. And he saw the glory of God, but this man, Jacob, he got an opportunity to see God and to see him face to face, and he survived. But God told him now, he changed his name, that Gary, changed his name from Jacob to Israel, because you have seen God and lived. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It's because I saw God face to face, yet my life was spared." When we see God face to face, I wonder what will it be when we get to see him. But until that time, we're down here, we live with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of each one of us can give us power when we don't have power. It gives us strength when we don't have strength. It will give it to us. The Apostle Paul prayed to God 3 times, "Lord, to take this throne out of my flesh." And God told him, "My grace is sufficient." But he pleaded with him 3 times. But God said no. He said that it came from Satan. But you know, in God's permissive will, he allowed things to happen to us that we don't understand. We don't understand them, but God knows all about it, and he does it for a purpose. And has he done the same thing for Jacob that he did for the Apostle Paul, and that was, he'd done something to him to keep him from being conceited, from being selfish, and he fixed him up. He fixed him up so that God, could you, God said, I'm gonna fix you so I can use you, but I gotta humble you first before I can use you, because I can't use you all proud and puffed up. I can't use you while you think you all debt in a bag of chips. I can't use you while you think you doing it on your own. I can't use you if you think you all that pretty, but I can use you after I break you down. I'm going to tell you something today. God can't use you until he break you. And after he break you, he begin to use you. And God will use you in a mighty way. And sometimes the sermon, the best sermon we ever preach, is the one that people see and not the one they hear. Somebody say amen in the house today. God can use you if you allow him to. But Jacob became submissive to God's will, and he became submissive to God's way. And after that, you know, he went on and to be the father of many nations. But I'll stop by today to let you know today that you need to pray and be on your knees constantly. And I want to bring along another man called Daniel. You know, Daniel, they call him old camel knees because he prayed three times a day on his knees. And the Bible says that he prayed this time his prayer didn't get answered. Y'all got quiet on me. I said the prayer didn't get answered. How many of y'all got some prayers that didn't get answered today? It's just a delay, trust me. But Daniel had prayed, and he prayed, but his prayer answer hadn't showed up yet. But God sent a messenger to him. Said there was a wrestling match going on out there in the heavens. You know, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but the principalities of powers up in the high places. And that's what was going on with Daniel's prayer. And God had to send some help, send Michael out to help fight the fight out there to get his prayer through. But while he was waiting, while Daniel was waiting, the Bible says he fell on his face, and somebody touched him on his back, and he fell on his face on the ground. And he came. He got his answer. I stopped by today to let you know that keep on in prayer today. But I want to tell you about my Jacob moment. That all right? I want to tell you about my Jacob moment. See, we need the older guys. We need to start sharing this stuff with the young people. Don't let somebody think you've been perfect all your life. You're not even perfect now, let alone back then. I don't know about you, but I'm jacked up, tore up from the floor up. I need an attitude adjustment from the neck up most of that time. You don't believe it, ask my wife. I ain't all that. I'm just being truthful. Church folk like to think, hey, you know, I'm dressed all nice, I'm all that. Oh, no. Oh, no. I had to shut my own mouth this week, Pastor Miranda. I'm out there and the guys are doing stuff, and I look at one and say, no, he didn't do that. So I grabbed the CB mic. I said, hey, what you doing? That's a bad way you mean. I said, what you doing? And something told me, just shut up. I need to shut up before I lose it. But I wrestle with stuff. I don't mind, I wrestle with it. But I'm victorious in it. That's what I want you to know. I don't want people to think things come easy, and that when you pray, it's going to be instantaneous. Sometimes you get to wait. God makes you wait. He makes you wait. But I want to share my Jacob moment. That woman God gave me, she's an amazing woman. Y'all see her sitting there all quiet. But I'm going to tell you something, still waters run deep. She is my supporter. She calls about 10 o'clock Monday through Friday. Honey, you okay? Sometimes I tell her no. But she does something. She didn't know she was doing it until I told her. She would start praying before she hang the phone up. I think that's great. But let me get to my Jacob story. I might need some help, guys, but anyway. My Jacob story goes like this. At 14 years old, I came out of the door of the church one Sunday. The pastor, Reverend McDaniel, he said, "Son, don't you want to be a preacher?" I sure don't. But I knew at 14, I knew that God had placed a calling on my life. But I'm young, dumb, you know, I got a whole lot of years ahead of me. And then as time went on, there were people would say things to me, "Gary, you sure you don't want to be a preacher?" "I'm sure." And I went on through my life. And as I went on, years went by, Joel. It went by, and till I become an adult. And see, I was brought up in a Methodist church. Ended up joining a Baptist church. And some way, somehow, God chased me down. I sang, I love to sing. I sang with a gospel group called the RJ Gospel Singers. We've been to Boston to sing. We've been to Washington, D.C. to sing. We've been to Jersey to sing. But at Warren Grove, I sang in what they call the gospel choir. This particular Sunday, my wife will remember this. We've been in church all day. I mean, all day, Joel. I was in Sunday school that morning. I'm taking my time and let's let you get the gist of this. So church service, I'm feeling a little different today. Something's different today. I don't know your name, but something was a little different that day. And after church service, we had to go to Elizabeth City. And we had to sing over there. How many of y'all have heard that song? It's just a few words. Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name. Jesus. But I found myself going down the aisle with the microphone. I said, "Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing?" We got home, around 5 or 6, and we were eating. And I decided, you know what? Something's wrong. So I was sitting there and I looked at the TV, and the TV table in front of me, Charles Stanley was preaching. If I didn't know better, I would think that man stuck his hand through that screen, laid his hands on my shoulder and said, "All I can hear, now's the time. Now is the time." We're getting there. But in that process, tears started rolling down my face. She said, "Honey, what's wrong?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "Honey, I'm going to Burger King. I'm going to get my apple pie." Went out to Burger King. They had them Hershey bar pies and apple pie. I got the apple pie, got home, put a scoop of ice cream on it. Could not eat it. I could not eat it. This is the truth. There's my wife right there. She'll tell you. I could not eat that pie. You know, apple pie and ice cream is good. But let me tell you something. It ain't as sweet as Jesus. I knew something miraculous was happening. And I think I knew what it was, but I didn't want to confess it. So she finally took it up. She put it in the freezer. We sit on the bed. We wept all night long. None of us got any sleep. We wept all night. Monday came. I tried to go to work, Zach. That didn't work. I had to go back home. Let me tell you about the power of the Holy Spirit. I went back home and we wept some more that evening and we wept that night. But Tuesday morning, Joe, I went to work and I made it through the day. But not without the guys recognizing something's wrong, something's different today. Tuesday evening when I got home, my wife looked at me, she said, "Honey, you know, Jacob wrestled with a man all night long." And she said, "I just want you to know, that's what you're doing, you're wrestling." She said, "You might as well give up. You might as well give up." She said, "You know what it's all about." Well, went to Bible study on Wednesday, Hurston. I knew what was going on. I hurried up and got out of church. I was driving a black 99 Chevrolet Silverado. I heard him get out of the church, off the premises. I went, pulled the door handle. Door wouldn't open. I could not open the door. Y'all listen to me, church. This is real life stuff. The door would not open. It wasn't locked. God prevented me from opening the door. So I took my little crying self back in church. Pastor Mills said, "What's wrong?" With a smirk on his face. I said, "God called me to preach." He said, "I already knew that." He said, "I was waiting for you to give up." He said, "I was waiting for you to give up." Then he said, "We'll wait a while." He said, "The Bible lay hands on no man suddenly, be not a part of his sin." Pastor Mills passed away about 3 weeks ago now. He was 92 years old. He taught me a lot, Miranda. He taught me a lot. I'll never forget, he called me one Sunday after I had preached, and he said, "You done okay." He said, "But I want you to do something." I said, "What's that?" "I want you to leave room for the Holy Spirit." He said, "You're trying to do it on your own." So sometimes, if y'all see my notes, let me tell you what I'm going to show you what my notes look like. See all them blank spaces up there? That's Pastor Mills' place where he told me, leave room for the Holy Spirit so he could do his work. But I stopped by today to tell you something. That's the ultimate wrestling match. When you start to wrestle with God and God body slams you and he holds you down and you can't get up till he gets ready for you to get up, then you can say you have been involved in the ultimate wrestling match, because there's no way, no how that you can get up when God gets a hold of you. And I won't let you know, I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. I might walk with a cane, but I'm not tired yet. I got a long road ahead of me, and the road might look dark sometime, and it might get rough sometime, but I'm not walking alone, because God is walking with me. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's not given me the spirit of
fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And I'll stand today to say hallelujah, hallelujah. To God's holy righteous name, He's the one that this world needs to turn to. In Luke 22, we find Jesus in the Mount of Olives. He's about to head to the cross to pay our sin debt. Somebody else say, man, he's going. He's headed to the cross to pay our sin debt. But in the process, being a human, and he's still God too, he went to the garden to pray, and he carried some people along with him. He said, you stay here while I pray. And when he went away to pray, the Bible said he prayed, will you let this cup pass me by? Not your will, but not my will, but your will be done. And the Bible said he prayed so earnestly to, there was like blood droplets falling from his body. I want you to know today, maybe y'all never prayed. I've never prayed to blood droplets. But I want you to know that I prayed earnestly. I prayed on my knees. I prayed all kind of ways. I prayed laying on the ground. I prostrate before the Lord because I just sought the Lord that way because I needed him that way. Maybe you don't need him that way, but I need him. I need him. This past Tuesday, I was on my knees, not because I was praying. I was praying in my mind. I was working on a machine and had no business on my knees to start with. I had to confess that to my wife because the way I looked when I got home, she knew something wasn't right. I was on my knees and all of a sudden the hydraulic line burst and it sprayed me, washed me down, Zach. But while I was on my knees, I don't mind admitting I still wrestle with some things. There's something very important that I'm wrestling with now, so y'all just pray for me. You don't need to know what it is, just pray for me. It's a good wrestling match. But I asked the Lord, let me finish well. Let me finish well. Let me see what the end gonna be. But while I was on my knees, Zach, the guys didn't know it. I was really crying inside because I was hurting. I was physically hurting. But you know, you do some things in spite of. I have not forgotten my Jacob moment. I got a whole lot of moments, but I can't share them all today. I just want the young people to know that you can make it. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter who you are. I don't care what you're wrestling with right now. Whatever you're wrestling with in your spirit today, because that's the problem right there. It's not so much the physical things. I tell people if you get cut, it'll heal. But that spiritual stuff, that's what weighs us down, Joel. And we wrestle with it, we fight with it. But I want you to know today that God changed Jacob's name. And guess what? He can change your name and my name too. He can change it to anything he wanted to be. I'm so glad he didn't change Bernard's name. He didn't change Bernard. That's my name, Bernard Rayfield Hurdle. But he did change my name from Bernard Rayfield Hurdle to Pastor Bernie. That's the ultimate wrestling match. When you fall in the grips of God and you can't get out of that grip. I'm not going to say sometimes, you know what, I just want to give up. But I know better because the Bible says he to put his hand to the plow and look back ain't fit for the kingdom. That scares me to death. That scares me. So Pastor Wallace, wherever you at, if I didn't get it homiletically correct, Miranda, like I'm supposed to, it ain't the first time when I was in seminary, professor said I didn't get it right then either. But I told him, I beg the difference, don't worry about it. My message came from God anyway, it wasn't for you. I thank Rico for, Rico knew I like organ music. I was brought up in the church. Young lady, I don't know your name, come here a minute, honey. You know what, God keeps a ram tied in the bush. Now that young lady right there. I want you to help me. I'm almost done. I want you to help me finish my message. I didn't know she was going to be here today. I don't know who she is. Ana Rico told me she could sing. But on the end of my message, I had a song. I would just read the lyrics of it. And that song is, Yes, God is Real. You know that? There are some things I may not know. There are some places that I can't go.
But I am sure
of this one thing. God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Oh,
yes, God is real, real in my soul.
Real in my soul.
Yes, God is real,
for I can feel
and make me whole.
God is real. I don't know about you. I feel Him every day. After that Jacob experience, I feel Him every day. I have a Bible in my work truck. I don't have it in about four or five different work trucks. And that Bible, is, I call them a rescue Bible because I got it out of a trash can. But every morning I would start it years ago, and before I leave the yard, Joel, I would read it. And sometimes going down the road, I had to have a praise break. Woo! I'm still learning how to praise, but I had to have a praise break. Sometimes I'll just stop on the side of the road, just lift my hands. People ride by and look like, you know, lost your mind, man, but that's all right. I sure did. I lost it to Jesus. Ah! Glory! Yes! God is real. He's real in my soul.
Yes, God is real, for He has once made me whole. Oh, His love for me is just like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Pastor Miranda, you better come on up here.
Amen. You feel His presence real in here today? Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bernie. I don't think we can move forward without opening up the altars. Maybe you've been here and here today, and your wrestling match is you feel God, you know He's real, but maybe He's been chasing after you, and just like someone was saying when they were being baptized, they were running. Maybe you're running. You've been running. You had maybe one foot in, one foot out. Let's stop the wrestling today. Or maybe it's something that God is, I feel like some people here, God is calling you to the next level. He's been wrestling with you. Maybe it may not be to stand up here and preach, but it might just be something in your life that He has been stirring that you've been wrestling. What is your Jacob story? Let your Jacob story, let today be a moment in your Jacob story that going forth you can say, I've been wrestling with this. I met God. And I'm not going to fight it anymore. I'm going to step into what He's calling me to do, whatever that is, whatever that thing is, if it's job-related or family-related or ministry-related, whatever it is. Maybe He's saying, hey, you know what? Stop wasting your time on all of these other things and come after Me. Whatever He's wrestling, you've been wrestling with. If we can all just close our eyes, just take a moment and examine our hearts. Maybe you've been sitting here listening to Pastor Bernie, and you've been thinking, you've been feeling the Holy Spirit. Maybe you feel a little nervous, or you just feel something in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit.
My heart is broken. Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling.
Can we all stand? Can we all stand?
Have you come to
if you're here today, if you're on the prayer team, if you could come forward, our prayer team. If you're here today, whatever it is that you're wrestling Jesus with, if it's that you're wrestling with making a step of faith in answering the call of God, whether it be a call to salvation, whether it be a call to the next level, whether it be a call to some form of ministry, whatever it is, if you'll find somebody, our prayer team would love to pray with you today.
And mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was brought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open.
Hallelujah, somebody. He is risen. Amen.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come to the altar.
Father, we thank you that you don't give up on us. Father, that you have a plan for us, a plan for our lives. I pray that even as we leave this place, that you will continue to direct us, to work on us, Father. That if we're running away and we're wrestling with something, that you would reveal it, reveal your clear and perfect will in our lives, Father. We thank you for Pastor Bernie. We pray that you would give traveling mercies today to the team traveling to Ohio, that you would keep them safe, God. Thank you for your presence in this place. May as we go, Father, that we continue to show your love to those around us as we leave this place. We love you and thank you. In your name we pray.
Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world a new love you found.
I missed one. Before you go, I missed one graduate today, a very special graduate. Julian Montanez, his mom is going to make her way. Can we give him a huge hand? He worked so hard. He graduated high school. We're so proud of you, Julian. Fellowship among yourselves before we leave. Thank you.